Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for listening. I am Jess, and good morning to Elsie.
Hello. Why? Hello.
Was that a weird way to open? I should just said, hi, Elsie.
I know. I haven't seen you in so long. It's like all of a sudden you're a different person. You went to the beach. You came back another person.
Another angrier, bitter, sadder person.
Oh, no. We don't want that. No,
we don't want that. But that is what it is. No. It is sadly what it is. It just wasn't very much of a vacation. It was a lot of work.
I'm sorry.
It was a lot of work and a lot of me tending to what other people wanted and needed. And I didn't really get to have what I wanted and needed, which was like just an hour to myself to do what I wanted without anyone touching me or asking me questions. Mostly Isaac. But Isaac was delightful. He loved every second of the beach. He loved the ocean. I mean, he did not love the ocean. He loved the bay because there's no waves at the bay. He caught a fish. He found a crab. He laid down in the sand and made sand angels. He pounded a crab at dinner and pulverized it to non-recognition.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. He really likes to kill bugs and animals. Like, he is, I mean, not in a psychotic, torturing kind of way, but like in a, ooh, that's gross.
Loving, kind way?
In a loving, no. I just want to smash the crap out of a
no,
bug
like
kind
he,
of way.
Like, a lot of kids are like, ooh, yucky. But he's like, there's a fly. And he just smashes it with his own hand.
Yeah. That wouldn't work in our house, as you know.
No.
As you know, we grab them. We grab all of them. And we allow them to go out.
I don't tell him to do it. It's instinct.
Yeah. You're talking right to a person that trapped a rat and drove it out of town.
I know. I had a millipede in the sink yesterday, and I was like, oh, my God, there's a millipede. And he goes, kill it, Mom.
Oh, my gosh.
I was like, that is my child.
Oh, gosh. No, we grab all of the spiders, all of the wasps that are getting in the house, and we try to gently just place them outside.
Yes, you're very Except, kind.
Yes, we are kind of that kind of family. Other than the weird gnats that are coming out from underneath the sink, which is kind of disgusting. It's like I clean the bathroom and it's like it is spotless. I'm so proud. But then when you go back in the morning, like in the tub, there's all of these dead gnats like on the and they come out from underneath the sink. Like not the sink, but the drain. What is that?
I don't know.
That's kind of gross and very weird.
Bugs are gross. And I'm really ready for summer because we've had like a, not a major, but sort of a minor fruit fly problem. And just enough where you can't tell if you're seeing floaters because you're tired or if there's a bug in your face kind of thing.
Yes.
Like the cold to come and make them go away now.
You know, I have to say fruit flies are another one of those bugs that I just can't deal with. They are so annoying.
They are so annoying. God only put them on the planet to annoy us.
And you know when you know how you swat bugs, of course, like you swat them away from your stuff, like you're just like, "Here, move," like and you swing. Fruit flies don't get that. Fruit flies actually do the opposite. Like you swat them away, they dive into whatever it is that they were about to go into. And
yeah.
It irritates me to no end. I hate them. I do not like fruit flies.
Me neither. They're a bunch of dicks. Okay, anyway.
So, all right. Well, I'm happy that you're back. And then did you enjoy a little bit of the sunshine? Did you enjoy any of the food that you got to eat?
I had 3 days of sunshine. And we would do the bay in the morning. And then my Isaac's cousins had to take a nap. They're a little younger than him. And then we went to the pool and swam till 4 and then had dinner and then hung out. So the first couple of days, my dad and Scott's mom were there, and Nate and Isaac and myself. And then my dad left, and then my sister-in-law came, and that's when it rained. It rained. She came Thursday night, rained Friday and Saturday. Saturday morning is when got there. And then we came home Sunday. So, like, yeah, the rain kind of put a damper on what I wanted to do, which was go to this place, Jungle Gyms, which is, like, lazy river, wave pool, water slides. I thought that would be really fun, but Mother Nature wasn't nice. And then Saturday, and also it wasn't just it wasn't just raining, it was hot. Have you ever been in like a hot, sticky? It was gross.
Do you remember that I was born in El Salvador?
Yeah, you live in North Carolina, and also
I live in North Carolina as well, so yes. Both of
those things. You're the expert on hot and gross. All right. Well, so you know, it was terrible. But yeah, I did enjoy the weather. I got a little browner, and then we had lovely dinners, and Isaac was the food. Did I enjoy the food? I mean, I went to 3 different candy stores, so that should tell you how much I enjoyed it. Like, there were Snyder's, Kildare's, and then there was Candy Kitchen. And we infiltrated all 3 and bought all the things. I bought a turtle. Do you know what a turtle is, you guys? A turtle is normally a chocolate-covered cluster.
Are you talking about candy?
Yeah. It's like a chocolate-covered cluster of nuts with some kind of caramel keeping it all together. Well, this place had clusters the size of a hockey puck, and it's mostly, it was a cashew cluster, and then there's just like a pool of caramel dipped in chocolate on the top, but it's like, even that looks like the size of a hockey puck. It's the biggest thing I've ever seen, so I just bought one. I haven't even eaten it yet. I'm afraid. It's so big. I'm afraid it's going to break my teeth, but it looks awesome. And then
you'll get stuck and you won't be able to speak for...
Yeah. I need to make a dentist appointment first. And then... huge thick slices of fudge, chocolate covered pretzels. What did Isaac get that he loved? Oh, something called Spanish licorice, which is like not a Twizzler, but like a kind of like red vine texture on the outside. And then on the inside, it's kind of like Smarties. Have you ever heard of that? Why is that Spanish licorice?
No, I don't know.
I have no idea.
Because it's sweet and tart, like the Spanish people? I don't know.
No, that. Is that true? I think that's true. I don't know, but Isaac loves it. It's delicious. And then he wanted sour gum. I mean, we didn't eat it all at one time. I still have most of what I just described to you. We eat like a tiny piece at a time. But it was just fun to shop in there. We went shopping in the outlets. It was good. I mean, it was good for being the worst vacation I've ever had in my life. It was good.
Oh, great. Well,
43
that is
years
awesome.
Old. And I'll say what I said yesterday on Brilliant Observations. I'm 43 years old. I've been on a ski trip with 20 other people who knew how to ski with my family who did not know how to ski. My sister fell. My father broke his ankle and I had the flu. And that was still a better vacation than this.
Oh, my gosh.
Boom.
Awesome.
So there you have it. That's okay, though. We live, we learn, we move on. We have some interesting stuff to talk about today, I think. Some new shows coming out and some tools. And
shall we move to some news?
The news you can use. For the informed podcaster, podcasting news.
All right. Yay.
Yeah, so you put this in here. What is a podcast producer?
Yeah,
everyone has a different definition, don't they?
They do, but I think that, you know, one of the things that I feel very strongly about, especially educating our community, is the fact that there's a lot of what I've seen lately is that there's a lot of our women that are looking for essentially a VA, right? A VA for their podcast, where they want to outsource all of the things that are annoying to them, which is completely great, because that's exactly what we would advise for somebody who wants to really grow an audience as well, to some degree, right? But they are putting what I've seen lately is sort of like, can I have somebody just put an intro and an outro to my show, please? And then can you do my show notes? And that I also need somebody to do a little image for my show and to schedule the things out. And so, but I don't really need very much. What's the going rate for that?
And it's like, yeah, right.
That's a lot of work. And it's also, I feel, different people that can take care of some of that stuff.
True.
And I think that what people are thinking about is that if you are wanting somebody to slap together your show, and it essentially that's what it sounds like, put the intro and the outro on for me and put it out, I think anybody can do that. Anybody can totally do that. That you don't even really need a podcast producer. I'm sure you can have somebody who is a competent VA to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. But I do feel that a podcast producer actually requires a little bit more information, and they do, I feel, need to be paid more, and they do have their hands in there a lot more than somebody who just puts in the intro and the outro.
Can I just step in a little bit on that?
Would
because,
you?
Yes.
Okay, so for putting an intro and outro and then putting your podcast together, anybody can do it. Can anybody do it well? I mean, when you're looking
well,
at
Well, that's
doing,
what I'm saying.
Yeah,
John.
What you're looking
that's
at.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you want someone that can process your audio, that someone can maintain the same loudness throughout the show. If there's problems with some audio, that they can fix that. I mean, if you just want somebody to make up a template and put your intro, outro, and then just throw your show in there, yes. But a lot of times I'll hear shows and the intros are really, really loud, and then the body of the show is soft. And then if they have a commercial come in, it blows the speakers out of your car because it's loud. So that part of it, I think, is a little bit more specialized. The thing where I find people is it's very hard to write in somebody else's voice for show notes. That's where I think somewhere you would have to pay more than just a VA. I don't know. And then the image thing, it's all specialized.
Yeah, I think it is. I agree with you. But I also feel that there's a lot of VAs out there who are skilled in copywriting, mm-hmm. and are skilled in making graphics. And so there is, and they've done this a lot. So they kind of know the system a little bit better, meaning that there's a lot of people who require those types of duties, copywriting and creating graphics and all that kind of stuff versus somebody who's creating audio or is processing audio. And when I say you can slap the intro and outro together and put the thing in the middle, the thing is people don't understand what you just said. Therefore, that's where it starts to become more about being a producer of the show, where you can really listen to a show and go, wow, the levels are really off. What do I need to do to fix this? Because a lot of the time, most people don't even care. And or that they feel like they don't really understand the minutia of what it takes to make sure that you take out like mouth noises and too many ums and ahs and things like that, silence, how to make sure that the transition sounds great, how to make really good cuts so that if you are cutting a piece, you can get somebody in a sentence with the proper breath so it doesn't sound like a weird cut, because I'm sure all of us have heard that in the past. Like there's many times when I wait and I look and I see when there's a breath there, I leave that breath in because it sounds like a regular conversation. Even if I cut like a huge chunk in the middle, it still sounds good. And I feel that that really requires somebody else. So in this article that I have here, it's from resonaterecordings.com and it's called 5 Roles of the Podcast Producer. And they kind of do it in a succinct way. Maybe you may agree or you may disagree with some of this stuff, with some of the things, especially with John. John, you do a lot for us that I do believe fits into this. And there's some things that you obviously don't do, but this is how it's set up here. One of them is creative vision. The other one is oversee the overall production. Coordinate the interviews is number 3. Obviously, we don't have any. Post-production. And then lastly, it's team manager. So all of these things have, like, I do believe, John, you have a really big hand in the creative vision of the show. And I feel that part of it is that you know us so well that you're able to then give us constructive criticism. You're able to actually make us sound better. You take things off that are kind of taking us off topic. And I'm not saying, like, you cut things out that are not that we shouldn't have on the show. But I'm saying, like, you just make it streamlined. You do oversee the overall production. You make sure that you're that everybody's on, like right now with all of these things that we're recording and you having to deal with my bandwidth issues. There's a lot of things that you make sure that we do. And that really helps as well. When it comes to coordinating the interviews, you actually have helped a lot with making sure that you talk to my guests and whatnot. Whenever we do have somebody that comes in as a co-host, generally speaking, not when I make mistakes about scheduling, you also help us coordinate the interview and whatnot. And of course, the post-production. And I think the team, you know, manager, you've done a good job doing that too, railing, you know, Jessica and myself in. So all of those things are really great.
Yes, I am. I am a Jessica Wrangler.
You are a true producer.
All right. So, you know, it's funny you said that because I did not record the episode with you and Liz. So the funny thing was that when you went to start the show, you said, okay, Liz, you clap and then I clap to sync it up. And then she clapped and then you clapped. Well, so what happens is the clap has – one clap has to be on both tracks. That's how you sync. So if you clap and she claps and it's not on both – and not one of the claps are on both tracks, it doesn't work. So what happened was you clapped and then she clapped. And I go, oh, look, they synced it for me. So then I put them together, and when I put them together and I went to listen to the audio, you guys were talking over each other. I'm like, it's like they can't even hear each other. Then I realized – that you clapped and then she clapped. So when I lined it up, I misaligned everything. So I had to go back and do it. So so here's a little tech tip. When you go to sync somebody, what has to happen is one person has to take their headphones and put it over the microphone. The other person has to clap. So that clap goes on your microphone and your audio and their audio and in their audio track too. That spike then can be lined up and then it can be synced together. The other thing you can do is that you can count backwards to five and then your guests can come in at three. So you go 5, 4. And when you get to three, they go 3, 2, 1. That gets you close enough. But it was funny when I put it together and I started listening. I was like, were they drinking? They're talking over each other. And it took me about 10 minutes to figure out that the sync had not worked correctly. So, but it's funny.
Sweet. Well, we tried. We did it. And also, I had just, because it might as well continue chatting a little bit about my new setup, because that's something that we found out. So, a couple of weeks ago, we were recording and we recorded an entire show yet again, right? Giving our time and our resources to each other here. And I found out that the SD card that goes inside of my H6 essentially died. So even though the recording was there, it wasn't fully there. Like even the data wasn't written to it properly. I could not transmit it into my computer. Like I couldn't even take it out at all. So, and I didn't have a backup. And so what I did immediately after we finished is I finally went out and I purchased the ATR2100, which is what I'm recording in right now. And that is actually going inside into my H6. So I'm recording locally into the H6. But since the ATR2100 also has a USB input, I have that going into my computer. And I am also recording into the computer at the same time. So it's got two outputs. And so I have two separate recordings of the same thing. So if something does happen to one of these two things, I still have at least another backup somewhere where it is actually on mic, because I just was like, no, not again.
I know it is terrible. And then I, on this side, I'm recording your audio, but it is phone quality. So let's say if everything went bad and we really needed to use this, it would just sound like you were on the phone. It's not horrible, but it could be used in a pinch.
Yeah, and I agree. And then, you know, even listening to some of the NPR procaster type shows, which I've listened to like a couple of new ones lately, some of them that are coming from public radio. And I am really surprised that a lot of the time the host is absolutely on mic, of course, but the person who that they're interviewing is absolutely on the phone. It is phone quality. There is nothing else to that. And the other thing that I've noticed, John, and I don't think you listen to too many of these type of shows, but what I've listened to is that they don't ever do any editing on the host's track. So what ends up happening is when the guest is talking, you hear typing, rustling, moving around and all that stuff. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's like, I mean, I do. I mean, there's times I get lazy and I don't want to deal with that stuff. So I leave it in but I've been trying to do a lot better with the feed and trying to remove all of that. Whenever I'm talking, I make sure that I mute Rob's track so that unless he's actually talking and stuff like that. But I'm really surprised that they leave all that extra rustling in there.
I guess what happens in those type of shows is it's more radio. And usually if you're listening to the host is on mic and then the guest is usually a calling guest. So we're used to hearing that. So it doesn't bother us. I get a little nervous was when I hear them both on the phone. That's usually when I click out, like when they both sound like they're on the phone. I don't know. Yeah. Again, I'm a little stickler for audio because I don't like it when if I'm driving in the car and I have to jack it way up, and then that drives me crazy. So the loudness to me and the overall loudness of the show, I feel is very important.
Cool.
Yes. But if there's, I know, cool, she says. So if there's any, if you guys want to read that article, it's actually really good. Check it out in the show notes. Again, if you want to read our show notes, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts or if you're listening on Overcast or Castro or Pocket Casts, if you look inside of your app, if you tap usually on the screen, you can see it kind of changes and you can get access to the show notes there and all the links are there. If you can't find that, this is episode 206. Of She Podcast. And you can just go over to shepodcast.com and look for episode 206 and you'll be able to find all the links there. So our next thing that we have is this three women are launching a new network thing here that I found on Vulture and they've been getting a lot of coverage. Have you read this, Jess?
I have read about it. Yeah. Kind of fun. I don't know how I feel about it. I kind of wonder what all the coverage is about, to be honest. Like, lots of people launch podcast networks.
Yeah, but I think it's because of the how do you say it? The name? Is it the name? Like the clout of these women who have been around for a while and they've gotten together? And,
yeah, I guess. I mean, they have a Kickstarter.
It really is about that. So it's not necessarily that it's new, but it's now more serious. So the tagline is podcast by women for everyone. No creeps allowed. And they're launching it via Kickstarter.
The Kickstarter has video from Seth Rogen, Jenny Slate, Jack Black, Gabori Sidibe. So like it's kind of, yeah, I mean, they must know a lot of people. They must be pretty famous on the back end.
Yeah, no, they have a lot of, and I think that they've really kind of pushed this forward. And one of the quotes that they have in here, it says, "We wanted to create a place where the creative women we knew could make great things that wouldn't necessarily fit on the slate of the handful of podcast networks that exist at the moment. Iarios scratches an itch I had when I was an agent to discover new talent and unveil it to the world with a knowing you're welcome." Matu added, "This platform will be a great opportunity to nurture so many unique voices that we've had our eyes, ears on for years," end quote. So they say that they want their Kickstarter to get to $25,000 to make this go.
It's pretty exciting.
So I wonder,
what do you really feel is a podcast network necessary? I mean, I understand unless the network is known, does it really do anything? I mean, a bunch of podcasters could get together and promote each other's show on their shows and basically make a network. I mean, what does a podcast network really do?
At their caliber, the answer is yes. At our caliber, the answer is no, it does nothing. But because they're famous and they have famous friends, it does make a difference, because joining that network is going to be a newsworthy person joining a newsworthy network that was founded by newsworthy people, whereas like the average podcaster is not particularly newsworthy.
Like one of my clients had the Hoo Ha Ha Network reach out to them, which is a comedy network run by Elizabeth Banks.
Right.
And I never heard of it before. But
well,
apparently
I had,
it's a big
though.
Deal.
It is
yeah,
a big deal.
Apparently it's a big deal. So
Hoo Ha Ha is awesome.
And so here's the thing, though, John, and I know that we've had a conversation about some of this stuff, too, but this is actually where I on a first kind of glance at this, I was kind of thinking about the same stuff. Like it's we've had this happen before, but now knowing what I know more since I've been kind of speaking on some of this stuff more, here's one of the things that said in this article. It says, quote, there's a podcast out there for everyone, but nearly all of the networks that host, develop, and promote your favorite shows are run by men. And I know that this is actually really important. Like before, this wasn't such a big thing. But then when I went to Podcast Movement and you look at the panels, it's all this, like all of the podcast hosting companies, essentially the representation for a podcast hosting company, is a man, particularly in radio. It's like one of the comments that I heard from somebody that came to watch my panel with the radio CEOs there, which were all women, essentially whispered over to like Jacobs Media, or I think, or Beasley or something like that when they were leaving. Well, if a bomb fell here right now, all of the women in radio would be dead. There wouldn't be any. Because essentially, even though it was...
We'd get you all in one fell swoop.
Yes, exactly. And it's not that there aren't... And I think now the conversation isn't anymore around, are there any women podcasters? We know that there are. There are so many. The problem, I think, the biggest issue I see now is that there aren't any women executives. There are no women or representation in the executive levels here to make these decisions. So regardless, a man is making these choices. It doesn't matter. So it still has to be sort of like everything has to go through the lens of that. And it actually matters because there is like a sense of not understanding. And especially now when you start to see like all of these networks that are being created, it's still the same. Even like people like Gimlet Media is run by men as well. I mean, obviously there's women in there too, but in at the executive level, the ones that hold the power, the ones that are developing the shows, the ones that are actually wanting to get this stuff out there. And in fact, it's the same thing, not just for podcasting, though. This is a big criticism that also often comes back to Apple. It's the technological companies. There are very little women executives in almost any power positions in some of these larger companies out there. So that's what this conversation starts to move around. So if this is the case, it would be great to be able to have more women executives and get to a place where it's not like, oh, we have to get those ladies from Iraq. I can't even say the name of the thing. Iarios to come and be on the panel because we need some women. Now we have a female network. Yay, we could just call them to come over here and talk, you know?
So do you think that in the future we'll have niche networks where we'll have women running networks, men running networks, people, comedy people running networks? I know Sonny Galt has a network, Parents on Demand, where all the podcasts there are all about parenting and different seasons of parenting and stuff like that. So I'm all for, you know, niching up and something like that, because this way, you know, if what you're interested in, you can go and find many shows like that. Right now it's a crapshoot.
I do think that it's a good idea. Mind you, it's not as easy as you think. I mean, look at what with OWN and Oprah with her network. How many years was it till she was, I think I just read an article that essentially it was hard work for Oprah to really get who her audience was, what they wanted to listen to, what they wanted to watch, what they wanted to read, what they wanted to engage with. It took years upon years of development and audience acquisition and communications between all levels of conversations with advertisers, as well as with audience, as well as with channels, as well as with partnerships, to figure out what they were actually building. What was the intention? I wish I could find that article. If I do find the article, it will be in the show notes. But it's not an easy thing. It's not like all of a sudden, just because you have a lot of people together, you're going to succeed, even though it's a like-minded type of network. So,
honestly, I really believe that good content knows no gender. And the thing about podcasting is it's relatively in its infancy still. It's really 13 years old, right? Somewhere around there, maybe 15 right. years old. And, you know, women have grabbed a stronghold in it now in the beginning, and they're building. And they're coming up in it. You ladies are a perfect example. You've got over 10,000 people in a group. So,
right. But again, John, what I'm saying is at the executive level. So I'm talking about the people who are actually making the decisions. That hasn't changed too much.
Well, it's because that's the, as you know, my favorite people, the procasters, the radio people that have been in business forever, and it's been run by men. But as podcasting comes up, you're seeing more women getting into a power of position there. And I think it'll happen in podcasting before it ever happens in radio.
And that I do agree with, for sure. Yes. Mm-hmm. So shall we move on to Weird and Wild Show of the Week?
We haven't done one of them in a while. Yes.
We have not.
Weird and Wild.
Weird and Wild.
Weird and Wild.
Weird and Wild.
Show of the Week.
Jess, this one's all you.
Today, I would like to introduce and talk to you about Dr. Death. Horrifying new podcast.
Oh my
Dr.
God.
Death tells the true story of a killer surgeon. This podcast basically covers the story of Dr. Christopher Dunch. Let me just read you the first paragraph of this article on Vice because it is like chilling.
Oh, no. Okay.
I'm going to do it podcast style. Okay. Metal screws inserted. No. Metal screws inserted into the spinal canal. A dissected esophagus. Holes randomly punctured through vertebrae. Severed bundles of nerves. This is just some of the horrifying damage Dr. Christopher Dunch inflicted on patients who trusted him over the course of an 18-month botched surgery spree. I love the word spree there.
Oh, my God.
Like a spending spree, but with terrible, terrible surgery. In that time, the Dallas-based spinal surgeon maimed more than 30 patients, rendering some paralyzed and leaving at least two dead in what one doctor called an unmitigated atrocity. Now,
holy
I know, crap. Right? Now, Dunch, who's currently serving a life sentence in prison, is the subject of Dr. Death, a new podcast from Wondery, who created Dirty John. I mean, Wondery's got all the juice. Let me just say that. They've got the juicy yes. when it comes to interesting stuff. Dirty John was interesting, too. That was about another doctor who I think
it was very interesting.
Fooled his yes. wife, right? Yeah.
I couldn't stop listening to Dirty John. I listened to the whole yeah. series in one sitting. I did. I went through. I couldn't stop listening to it.
Well, so it premiered Tuesday,
yeah, me
September
too.
4th.
I did listen to it as well. For
yeah.
sure.
It premiered yesterday, so go ahead and check it out.
How many episodes is it?
Wow.
Let me take a look. I don't know.
The thing
know.
About I have so many questions. Is he just a horrible surgeon, or did he do this on purpose? Oh, now I got to listen.
Well, you have. I mean, yeah, I haven't listened
that
to it
so
yet,
crazy.
But because I just like realized about the podcast like yesterday. So let me go and take a look. Hold on. Dr. Death. Let me see how many episodes there are. Is it binging or is it coming out? I don't know. I just know it's fascinating. Even the cover art is juicy. So far, it has 3 episodes, a 2-minute preview, which was like on the 22nd, and then Episode 1, which is 3 days in Dallas, and episode 2, Chris and Jerry. So it looks like it might be like a weekly,
wow.
I don't know. It looks so interesting. It already has 1,000 reviews.
Oh my God. Are you kidding me? That's insane.
Yeah, I know,
wow.
right?
Wow. Well, crazy. Actually, it seems to me here that it's going to be talking about the healthcare system, because one of the things that it says here is that she says that when it comes to our healthcare system, many of those failed safeguards have still gone unchecked. So it seemed like there's a lot of people who actually knew that he was doing some of these things, but felt powerless to do anything about it, which is kind of
crazy,
shocking to me.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, isn't it? Isn't it a little shocking?
Yeah, I mean, if you knew somebody was doing,
yeah,
why wouldn't you stop that?
Right. Anyway, so it seems really great. Good Weird and Wild show of the week there, Jess.
Yeah, man, that's a good one, right?
Absolutely.
That is a very good one. That's like, it's going to, and you know what? I'm actually reading a series right now of this woman mystery person thingy majigger. Like, the author for this book is Chelsea Kane. And she has all of this. She has like a series of books that are about this female serial killer. And she does stuff like this on purpose as well. But she loves to watch people die. So she will kill them really very, very, very slowly. Like, she'll take out like the intestines while they're still alive, really, really, really slow and stuff like that. Like, with one of her victims, she took out his spleen while he was alive as well. So she does all this crazy stuff. But anyway, she's still at large, and I'm totally hooked. And it sounds like this is kind of the same. It's like the Archie Sheridan and Gretchen Lowell series, and I'm on book 3, and I think there's like 6 of them. So I just thought I'd share that, might as well, since we're talking about crazy doctors. And she does stuff like that. Like, she was a ER nurse for a while, and so she learned how to do all of these things. She gives people drugs and so that they're awake and all of this kind of stuff. She's a master manipulator. Anyway, if you guys are interested in some of that stuff, you can read those books. Anywho, so shall we move to tool tips?
Tool tips. Elsie's tool tip. I have the best
tool. What do you have, Jess?
I have such a good tool tip. Y'all don't even know.
Oh my God.
I want you to go to planwith2ns.com. It is Instagram planning, including your Instagram stories. That's right. I said Instagram stories. Wow. So you can visually plan out your whole enchilada, like the grid and everything. And then you can schedule it to go live. So like, if you batch things, which sometimes people do, you can then have a story to go out like every Tuesday if you want. So I wanted to show this to you because I just discovered it, and it's not that expensive. I mean, for the biggest unlimitedest plan, it's $12 a month, and that's for you to do.
Oh my gosh!
Unlimited uploads, unlimited stories, unlimited, you know, analytics, strategy tools, editing filters, color theme performance, finding out the best time to post video, and it pulls from Dropbox and Google Drive. $12. How do you not do that? I mean, I haven't done it yet because I'm confused about Instagram all around. But like,
right? No, it's like you. I mean, yeah, I can totally see how amazing this would be for someone who is on Instagram a lot, for sure. Oh my gosh, this looks great.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about it.
Wow.
So yeah, I wanted to tell you guys about that, and I'm gonna try it out when I can get my head together around what exactly I'm doing with my Instagram and my content in general. Every couple weeks, I think, man, I really got to figure out what I'm doing. And then I remember what I'm doing. And then I'm like, oh, I guess I'm doing that. And then it starts all over again. It's frustrating.
So what can you tell me what the heck happened with your Twitter account?
Before I get into that, I just want to say this. Speaking of Instagram, if you're listening to this, you know, anytime the week of the week of the 9th or 10th, Sue Zimmerman, who's the Instagram expert, is going to be doing an Instagram takeover on my Instagram, talking about how to promote your podcast on Instagram. So follow me on Jess Kupferman and look for my stories this week, Wednesday, Thursday. If you miss it, it'll be a highlight probably on my, she'll probably make a highlight. But like, you have to give her your user. The Instagram takeover is kind of a fun idea. Like, I gave her my user and password, and then Thursday, she's just going to be like, Shazam, hello, I'm Sue. you, and she's going to post her in my story that day. So if you want to learn how to promote your podcast on Instagram, follow me at Jess Kupferman, Instagram.com/Jess Kupferman. Now let's talk about Twitter, because I'm in hell.
Oh, yes, you are in hell. I have. Wow.
Okay. So, like, I have 13,000 followers on Twitter. I have had a Twitter account for 10 years. I have been cultivating it, growing it, using it for 10 years. But in the last couple years, especially when I had a baby, it went on automation. And I think as a result, my engagement went down. And now I think when your engagement goes down, you don't show up in the algorithm, which means that even though I have 13,000 followers, I never have likes, retweets, or comments on anything that I post, whether it's funny, whether it's advertising. I don't get diddles. So I did an experiment the other day, and I posted, if you can see this, can you please like it? Because I just want to know if you can even see it. And at this time, it has 66 hearts and 19 comments, which, you know, sounds decent, except for when you realize it's 13,000 followers. And I did this 2 days ago.
Could you be shadow banned?
Huh?
Could you be shadow banned?
I don't know what that means. What's shadow ban?
No, a shadow ban, I don't think shadow ban happens on Twitter. And also, Jess, Twitter's different than anything else. It's like, that's why you tweet a lot, so that more people can see it. Like, it's in real time. So you post, it doesn't keep coming up. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I do post a lot, but a lot of it's automated. So, like, anyway, I didn't think it was working out. And I thought, you know what? I don't even know who 13,000 of these people, I don't know 13,000 people. I don't know who these people are. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make a new account. And I'm going to have everyone follow me over there. And then the people who don't really know me and aren't going to interact with me, they just won't follow me again. And then I was like, you know what? How many places do I have a link that says at Jess Kupferman everywhere? So I thought, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to move my username to the new account. So I changed my username on the original account. So now it's Jess_Kupferman. This way, when people mention me or at me, I'll get it at the new place. So I changed it, and I had to change the email. Then I changed the new one, and I changed the new email. So, like, I'm still getting the same notification, but now everyone has to refollow me at the same username. So I found this service called Followers DM, where you can pay them, it's like 4 cents, to DM your followers. So, like, for 12,000 people, it was like $150. So I gave them $150, and now 250 people a day are going to get a DM for me that says, hey, this is awkward, but I had an issue with my old account. Can you please refollow me? And either they will or they won't. The inactive accounts won't refollow me. The people who don't use Twitter, the people who don't give a shit about what I talk about, won't refollow me. And then I'll have a fresh account with people who are engaged. And so what? If it's 2,000 people, it's still 2,000 people who are going to see what the fuck I say, as opposed to 13,000 people who are ignoring me full stop. You know what I mean? So it's like the great Twitter experiment. But like, the username part is the part where I feel like maybe I messed up. Maybe I should have weeded them out. Maybe I should have just started tweeting more. But 66 people after 2 days is not. That's not good enough. And I don't want to have to boost, like, on Facebook every time I say something. That's not fair either.
Yeah, but that's, you just said Facebook, so.
I know that's what you do on Facebook, but my Facebook page, I don't boost, and I get pretty good engagement on my Facebook page. Like, oh, let me go over there. I don't boost anything. And my last Facebook page post got, I mean, it's mostly my Instagram stuff, to be honest, but, like, people see it and react to it, at least as far as I can tell. Let me take a look. Okay, this particular one is just a picture, but it got like 5 likes. And then the thing before that was Isaac riding the rides, 1 share, 15 likes. And then the one before that, I mean, still, but for not paying for it, I feel like that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay, the one after that was like 3 comments, 50 likes. Like, that's 2,500 people, and that's doing better than an account on Twitter with 13,000. I just think that's ridiculous. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. I guess, you know, it's so funny. It's like I haven't gone in there enough to notice any of that stuff for myself.
What do you mean? What was that? You don't notice what?
I don't ever look at retweets or likes or anything like that. Like, I remove that from my vision altogether. So I'm always surprised when I go in there. I'm like, oh, how about that?
It's all right. But imagine if you felt like you were talking to no one all the time. It's not that I notice. It's that I get no response. I can't ask a question. I can't make a quip. I can't do anything and get a response. It's lonely. It's really lonely. And I know Twitter, other people say Twitter's their favorite thing. So it's like, well, I mean, even you love Twitter. So it's like, well, how did I botch this so terribly? I just want to start it over see if I can get something out of it. Because otherwise, why have Twitter at all? 13,000 people who tell you nothing is not better than nothing, as far as I'm concerned. Don't you think?
Yeah, that's true. And it's like, you know, what's really interesting is like, I use Twitter for amplification. And I'm not talking like meaning that I see things that exactly. I really love and I just want to, I want to amplify it. Or there's an article that I really find interesting and I'd like to amplify that. Once in a while, I will actually respond to somebody. Like usually if I see mm-hmm. somebody write a tweet that I really love, I will retweet it with a comment, but I don't often engage in an actual conversation with somebody because of what they tweeted. I amplify it. Like that's my way of saying thank you or my way of paying tribute or whatever. And then of course, if people reach out to me directly and they say, like, I just got a couple of questions from somebody from the feed that had a question about something I said. Can you clarify that? And then I do, right? And so those are the things. And then I will respond to direct questions. But I don't actually, and again, I think that maybe that aligns with my introverted self. Like, I don't really care if anybody's hearing me at all. I just kind of want to amplify it.
Well, so I did kind of reconsider as soon as I paid the money. I was like, what have I done? What if they can come back to me? Like, there's all these kind of famous social media people that follow me that may not do it again.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I hear you.
It kind of concerns me. So then I was like, maybe I should cancel the thing. But it was already too late. The DMs were already going out. People were already starting to follow me at the other place. And now I'm just like, well, now I don't know what to do. Do I just cancel right. it all well, together?
It is now the great podcasting experiment.
Twitter experiment.
That
but
is
yeah.
what this is. Twitter experiment, for sure. Absolutely.
But yeah, what does one do? What would you have done? I mean, you've changed your handle a couple times.
I have changed my name and my handle a couple times. I know you say that this doesn't happen, but I had the same problem with one of my accounts, and Twitter does have a shadow banning thing.
So what
and it's a real thing. And I dropped a couple of articles into Trello that talk about it. And basically what I had to do is I had to go buy an ad on Twitter for them stop shadow banning me so my stuff would show up.
So maybe that's just what I need to do.
And if you're on if everything's automated on your Twitter, I would probably say 90% that you're shadow banned. And nobody's paying attention and no one can see right. your stuff.
Right.
So that being said, I would check that first. But now if you're having
but
two
how
accounts.
Does how do you know if you're where do you find that?
Well, I don't think it's something we should go into here for the simple fact that it's kind of complicated. And the two articles I put in there will talk to you about being shadow banned. Then you can go through that and find out. But I was shadow banned on one of my podcast accounts, and I went in and bought an ad, and immediately look at this, everything started showing up on everybody's feed. So it was almost like I had to pay a Twitter fine, a $50 Twitter fine.
That's weird. That's so bizarre.
Yeah. And I don't like Twitter for that simple fact, because all of a sudden, if again, this was for the show that I do, there's a comedy show it's a little racy, I'll give you that. And then if people complain about it or what I put on Twitter, you know, then I get a shadow ban from Twitter. They don't even tell you. They don't even tell you you're shadow banned. You got to go find out through a third party. Then you find out. Then you say, hey, guess what, Twitter? I would love to buy some ads. How do I do that? And they go, oh, yeah, here, buy this. And you do that. And all of a sudden, amazingly, your Twitter, everything starts showing up at everybody else's feed. So, yeah,
how
it's almost
that?
Like a little Twitter fine for being whatever, but you know, Twitter doesn't like the, because of everything that happened during the election, they are very, very conscious of any kind of automation.
Yeah, and and Elsie and I were doing this whole retweet, retweet, retweet thing. So it's possible through Meet Edgar that I did get shadow banned.
I would check that. But now you're half in the boat, you're half out of the boat. So I don't think...
I know. What do? I can't stop this auto DM from happening. I want it to, but I can't.
I think you're... I think you've already made your mind up. I think you're getting a new account.
Ugh.
It happens.
I mean, I don't know how to get it to stop. I asked them if it would stop, and I can't get it to stop.
Yeah. Honestly, yeah, I get more engagement on Instagram than I think Instagram and Facebook is where I get my most engagement. Twitter, not so much.
Yeah. It's
Twitter's like the wild, wild west of social media.
It is. It really is.
What was that movie where it was called The Purge? Twitter's like the purge of social media. That is one step above Reddit. Reddit's the worst, then Twitter. Mm-hmm, it's crazy.
I know. Reddit is... I'm almost afraid to go there. That's how scary it is.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't go into Reddit at all. And I think that, you know, what I do with Twitter, at least from my personal account, I have a list that I follow, and that list has 26 people. I mean, I follow really a little bit amount of people. I mean, given what I have over 5,000 people following me, I only follow around 600 or something. And I generally go in there and I stop following more people too, because I really want to get specific. But even beyond that, I have a list of people that when I go into Twitter, I open up this list. It's usually, I think it's less than 20 people on that list. And that's all whose tweets I read. Like, I don't read anybody else's tweets, just those people's tweets. And that's it, because I don't go in there for any other reason other than that. Occasionally, I would look at my total feed from Twitter, and then I'll check my at replies. And then on Libsyn, I'm constantly responding to people. So that is a very engaged account. I'm constantly responding to people, retweeting people, engaging with people, and that kind of stuff. But I don't go in there to read. Like, I also don't go into Twitter for the Libsyn account to read my feed. Like, like people that we're following on Twitter, I don't do that. It's all content output and engaging with people who are engaging with our content. That's what it is. So I don't read anybody else's stuff unless you are at replying me or you are engaging with our content in some way. If you're responding directly to something I put out. So
now I'm getting anxiety thinking about it.
Well, I'm sorry to bring this up, but I got anxiety about it because I know you had all of those followers. I was like, that's 13,000 followers. She's just thrown out. Yeah. But I don't know. I mean, maybe they were all bought. And that's the other thing. It's like Twitter's now looking to a lot of those accounts and seeing the balance of bots, because there's so many bots out there. And I feel that Twitter is, just like John mentioned earlier, they're trying to clean up the mess that Twitter has become. And so there are so many automated accounts that are bots, and they are there just to mess things up. And they really started to clean a lot of that stuff up. I don't know. Maybe you had a lot of bots following you. Who knows? I mean, I have no idea. And maybe there's a way that people measure that, the Twitter people. I don't know.
But the other thing is, too, Jess, that your account kind of was a bot. It was basically all automated. It was stuff that was all set up. So it was basically a bot account.
So I don't really know how to. Right. So I don't know how to get it to go back to a normal account.
You would probably have to. I would read those two articles. And then what happens is you're going to have to remove all that and actually get in there and mix it up with some people. You're going to have to engage. You're going to have to be like.
Yeah, I know.
I have been, but it's not working.
Have to be like Jean-Luc Picard. Engage.
It hasn't been working.
So
I don't know. And not only that, but I have this DM campaign and I can't get it to stop.
Well, I think now that when this goes out.
It's supposed to go out for 2 months, John.
No. Wait, hang on. Don't yell at me. What I'm saying is when this show goes out, I'm sure a lot of our dear listeners will be able to tell you. We've probably had more experience with this than we have. And they might come up with something that would help you out.
The only thing I can think of to do is to change that Twitter account and deactivate this one, or change that. You know what? I'm going to do that. I'll change the username over there. I'm just going to change the username so that the account, the campaign can stop. Do you know what I mean?
I guess. But then the other thing is that maybe if you use your Facebook, which you get a lot of engagement in, maybe if you ask the people on Facebook about your Twitter, they might help you.
Yeah, maybe.
That's true. I mean, because you're in the middle of the things. It's like you always see, that's what happens, Jess. It's like in the middle of the stuff, you make these choices because it's like, I want to make it stop. And it's like, wait.
It's
so
like,
you're like in the middle.
It's like, hey, my boat's sinking. Wait a minute. Let me jump in the lifeboat. Oh, this isn't working. Let me drill a hole in the lifeboat. Now you've got two boats sinking.
It's called impulsivity.
Yes. I think we should. Let's try to back down on that impulsivity a little bit.
I'm going to try and fix the account I have and deactivate the other one. But first, I have to make sure that this campaign stops. That's all. Right? Uh-huh. That's what you're advising me to do?
I would say I would reach out to the people through Facebook and see if they have a better suggestion before you go tearing in and burning the place down. That's what I would do.
Yeah.
You'll know by this afternoon. You'll get engagement and people will tell you.
Yeah.
Then if it does, no one says anything, then just go in there and burn the place down. That's my suggestion.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do.
Okay.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Anytime.
You've been so helpful to me. Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right.
You.
So on closing, we are going to talk about our Super Squad again. Our Patreon
girl.
She podcast Super Squad.
So check it out. Elsie and I have devised a way where you can get our one-on-one attention each once a week in our new Facebook group just for paid Patreon members called the She Podcast Super Squad. It is open to both males and females and all of the genders. And it is going to be fantastic. So I'm going to do a live QA every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific, and Elsie on Tuesdays at 1:30 Eastern, 10:30 Pacific, she'll be doing a live QA through a post. So it's kind of like office hours. I don't know if you've ever seen anyone do office hours in a group. You are all invited. It costs $5 on our Patreon. So if you want to shine up, sweetie, it is patreon.com/shepodcast. You pay $5 a month and you are in. It's an exclusive group. It's brand new and it has all the She Podcast supporters that are on the $5 level. So please join us. I want to answer all your questions. I know Elsie does too. Patreon.com/shepodcast. And then you get to join the Super Squad. You get an email response where you can get the directions and do what you got to do, yo.
I know it seems like it's nice to be able to have that there, and we can get, you know, some questions answered. And what's really cool is that a lot of the people that are in the Super Squad are not necessarily newbie podcasters. So they've been around for a while, and it's nice to be able to answer questions that expand the scope of what we can do. You know, I had some growth questions come up. We had some RSS feed questions come up. So there's all kinds of things that are happening in there. And also, you know, Jess and I might be creating some extra bonus content for you guys. Not educational, not something that you're going to miss out if you don't listen to our show, but just some fun things that are more about the, you know, the behind the scenes of Jess and Elsie. And it should be fun. And it's really just available to our Super Squad members because I know you guys love us. That's why you're supporting us. So it'll be just kind of like bonus stuff. You might get an insight into the goats.
Exactly.
The good updates only coming to the Super Squad.
Exactly.
So,
yeah, thank you so much for listening. Please check out our show notes at shepodcast.com. You can also find us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at shepodcast. Our group is facebook.com/groups/shepodcast. That one is free. The Super Squad, again, is $5 at patreon.com/shepodcast. Please email us if you have any feedback about my Twitter debacle or anything else. feedback@shepodcast.com. Elsie and John, thank you so much for your participation in today's show.
Yay!
Love
awesome.
You.
We're glad to participate. And we will see you guys next week.
Bye.
No, love you, mean it.
I said love you, mean it. You didn't hear me. Love you.
Mean it.
Bye.